May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Please be seated. I've been reading a new book. It's about atonement. I'm reading it for fun. Seriously. And that should tell you something about me. I am a complete and total theology nerd. This stuff really makes my heart sing. So I've been thinking about atonement, and I heard it in today's epistle, that letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians. And atonement is one of the trickiest theological concepts to teach about. There are so many different ways to think about atonement, and many of those different ways of thinking about atonement are based in a way of thinking about God that doesn't really mesh for me with our celebration of Thanksgiving, our Eucharist, which is the center of our spirituality. I'm not going to take the time today, you're welcome, to go into all the different atonement theories and the problems associated with them. We'll save that for Lent. Today, what I want to focus on is the Word. And I want you to picture the Word written on a page. And what you'll see there is a phrase, at one ment. Atonement is our being attuned to God. Atonement is our reconciliation with God that comes from that attunement, that at-one-ment. That attuning, reconciling at-one-ment with God is accomplished through the person of Jesus, who is himself before all things, and in him all things hold together. In him, all things hold together. I want you to hold on to that thought. And we're going to take a little time now to think about mission statements. Our parish mission statement is to love with the heart of Christ, to think with the mind of Christ, and to act in the world as the body of Christ. Our diocesan mission statement is making, equipping, and sending mature disciples of Christ. Fulfilling both of these missions is accomplished by at-one-ment with God and creation in Christ, which, by the way, is how the Book of Common Prayer talks about the mission of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, bringing all into reconciliation with God and each other in Christ. So the church is quite simply all of those who are in Christ, wherever we may be. And wherever we may be, we are called to reconciliation and at-one-ment. These are two things, reconciliation and atonement, that at-one-ment with God, that are so desperately needed at all times. They always have been needed. And I think as we think back over the last week, 2 weeks, months, we see that need very clearly today. We are able to act in the world as Christ's body because we are equipped for this mission and sent as mature disciples. And that happens for us because of what Jesus did on the cross. And that's about as close as I'm going to get to really talking about atonement. I wonder what the Colossians thought when they heard that. What did they think when they heard that Christ is the image of the invisible God? What did they think when they heard in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell? Through him God was pleased to reconcile God's self to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. I wonder what you think when you hear that. That's very puzzling language. What do those words mean for us? What difference does it make in our lives that Jesus is the image of the invisible God? What does it mean for us to be at one, reconciled to all things through the blood of the cross? No one has ever seen God, holy, immortal, mighty, and invisible. It is by looking at Jesus and getting to know Jesus through hearing his life story and teaching that we have begun to see and know God. It is by living the life that comes out of our worship, in which we are nourished by that very blood from the cross. And it is in that we are transformed. We internalize God into our human bodies in this very intimate way. What is especially powerful in this way of seeing God in Jesus is that we are reminded when we look at Jesus that what we see in him is the fullness of God resident in a human body, one of us. Think about that. The infinite, all-powerful creator did something totally impossible, taking on finite form, becoming human. And in so doing, through Jesus, creation is being healed of the infection of evil and death. Thrones, dominions, rulers, and powers. These were iconic images of evil and death for first century residents of Colossae. Today's iconic images of evil and death are not that different, if you think about it. You might think of terrorists and thugs. You might think of addiction and disease. In some ways, things really haven't changed that much. Anne Lamott wrote recently, "Life has always been this scary here, and we have always been vulnerable as kittens." Plagues, Visigoths, snakes, and schizophrenia. Cain is still killing Abel, and nature means that everyone dies. The world has always needed the faith, love, and hope, remember last week, that we can offer as mature disciples of Christ, equipped and sent out to reconcile the world to God. Because God was pleased to reconcile all things by making peace through the cross, Anne Lamott can conclude, what is true is that finally, when all is said and done, love is sovereign here. Wherever we are, love is sovereign. Love is sovereign here among us because Jesus holds together the first creation and the new creation. In him, in his very body, they are reconciled. The old is not discarded. We are not discarded. We are made one with God at one, and we're made new when that happens. This is God radically reconciled with all creation. Where love is sovereign, we see the kingdom of God. And that's where we're invited into the kingdom of God. We're invited into that kingdom through Jesus Christ, that image of the invisible God. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Remember from last week that wisdom is a category of knowing that incorporates God's will in practical matters. Wisdom empowers ethical and moral behavior. Our job, as we become more attuned to God through knowing Jesus, is to use our at-one-ment to love with the heart of Christ, to think with the mind of Christ, and to act in the world as the body of Christ. It is in looking at the image of God presented to us in Jesus that we are given the means to be reconciled at one with God and all creation. The more we get to know Jesus and know about Jesus, the more we understand who God is and what God has done, and the more we will understand who we are as a result of what God has done. We'll understand what it means to live in and for God. And so we circle back to atonement and those old ways of thinking about atonement. One of the most traditional ways of thinking about atonement is on the individual level. But what Paul is thinking about in this letter is at-one-ment on a cosmic level. He said, through whom God was pleased to reconcile God's self to all things, whether on earth or in heaven. All things. All creation, reconciled to God by the peace that Jesus made. And Jesus made that peace by refusing to play by the rules of those thrones, dominions, and powers. Those forces demanded his life. Jesus made that peace by absorbing into the fullness of God all the wickedness and evil that humanity could throw at him. God, Jesus, made that peace by answering hate and fear and violence with utter self-giving love. The more we look at the image of God in the heart of love there on the cross, the more we come to realize that we are called to do the same. Answering hate and fear and violence with utter self-giving love is crazy. It's impossible. And it is necessary if we are to go about doing our reconciling work of at-one-ment. And the job that I've been called here to do among you is to raise up teachers and to help develop opportunities for each of you to become mature disciples of Christ, equipped and empowered and sent out. Now, I'm looking forward to this great adventure of doing this crazy, impossible, necessary work with you. And to be honest, sometimes the thought of the audacity of that just takes my breath away. But we are here, we are needed. And we must continue. We must continue securely established and steadfast in the faith without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that we have heard. So what is this gospel? How do we do that? I'm going to share with you a description of the gospel that I borrowed from our Presbyterian brothers and sisters. They're pretty smart. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of peoples long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. Hear that gospel. Become one with that gospel. And then take it into the world. The world needs this gospel, and they won't hear it if you don't take it.